Open your Bibles up, if you would, to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, that's, of course, in the Old Testament, chapter 8. 1 Samuel. We're going to talk about our identity tonight and being established in proper identity. So we've been talking about that for a few weeks, and we just want to continue along that line. Boy, can y'all sense the presence of the Lord? Isn't it good? Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 8. We're going to talk about some ways to recognize maturity in our lives. And because one of the things that I think is the bottom line issue about growth in Christ, and you know, Ephesians 4 says that one of the responsibilities of the pastor or the fivefold ministry gift is to cause growth. To grow up into Christ so that we're edified, that we're built up, that we're strengthened, and we grow up into Christ. And then we are able through that to do the work of the ministry. One of the things that I think helps people to grow up more than anything, really more than any man could give you, would be that you become established in your identity, that you know who you are. You know, if we all discover and can rest in the fact of who we are, it's going to take care of so many issues and problems in our lives, because we will be living our lives established from our mature identity rather than insecure weaknesses and emotional roller coasters. And, you know, so the goal here is that we would be established in our identity in Christ. And so we want to recognize when Paul said it's no longer, in Galatians 2:20, Paul said it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. Well, we want to be able to embrace that too, to where we would identify with him so much that we would say, it's not even me that's living. You remember over in Romans chapter 7, Paul said, when I would do evil, he said, it's sin that dwells within my members. He said, he didn't say it was him. It was the sin that was working in his members. So we want to recognize that having our identity established is so important. So I'm going to go over here tonight real quickly here, as quickly as possible. I don't want to rest it too much, but I do like to make sure that the children get home for school. About some, just seven ways here that I've discovered here over my lifetime that you can recognize maturity. And number one of those is that the number one thing that I think about someone that's mature is they don't take everything personally. You know, how many of y'all discovered in life that not everything's about you? And I've seen people go to great deals to make everything about them. Now, honey, would you hold that for me? I'll need that in just a minute. But see, one of the things that taking everything personally does is it definitely, when we take everything personally about our lives, it takes us off the focus of God. We're going to look at this here in 1 Samuel in just a second, but one of the issues that people have a lot of times is if maybe a child rebels or you have some problem in your life with your children or whatever, and, you know, that's probably one of the most closest personal issues that you'll ever have in your life. But, you know, I tell people this all the time, that Adam rebelled against God, but God had done everything perfectly to raise Adam. So you can't even make that personal. You can't take that personal. You can't, because when a child grows up, you know, they're living their own life. You know, you can't take everything personal. And we'll see that here. And if you look with me in 1 Samuel, let's look at this scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 8. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. Look at this. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So you have to realize that people normally are doing what they're doing because of them. They're not doing it because of you, even though it may appear that they're doing it because of you. But one of the main tactics of Satan, I think, is to get us so focused on what somebody else is doing or maybe has done that we think have done to us that it gets our life off what our focus and vision should be. Can you see that? It gets our life off of what we should be about. If we can always go about thinking about someone else's approval, whether someone else approves us or not. You know, I was doing a little bit of study, and we didn't have, growing up around here, we didn't have Woolworths stores. But in a lot of the areas of the nation, they had. Where did any of y'all live where they had Woolworths? Well, let me read this to you. When F.H. Woolworth first began working, his boss said he lacked good sense and would never be able to wait on customers. See, aren't you glad that F.H. Woolworth didn't depend on the opinions or the approval of others before he did what he did? Isn't that amazing? His boss said he lacks good sense he doesn't have good enough sense to wait on customers. You know what I'm saying? But that did not stop him. He did not wait for the approval of others to do what he felt like he should do in his heart. Can you see that? And if you look over real quickly in Mark 4, we're going to see something else here. Mark 4. Let me just stop here just a moment and see if y'all have anything to say or ask about taking things personally. Has anybody got a question about that? How we get over taking things personally? See, if you're taking something personally, if you're making something about you all the time, you're never going to grow up. Because people aren't doing what they're doing because of you. They're doing what they're doing because of them. You know, I had a lady recently. I was talking with her and a lot of marital problems. And I try to tell a lot of married people that go through these problems, especially people that are good people, you know, that just somebody's doing them wrong. If somebody's doing you wrong, normally they're not defining you. They're defining themselves. You see, it's not that we make so many things about us and we fail the bigger picture of being able to continue to walk with God through difficulty. We fail the bigger picture of having success through tribulation. We fail the bigger picture of that because we get so bogged down in the fact that it's all about us. So, but look here in Mark chapter 4, and I'll show you this again. Mark chapter 4 in verse 14, Mark 4:14, it says, "The sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time." Now listen to this. "Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake." Everybody say, "for the word's sake." See, in Samuel just about bought the bait of Satan that the people were offended about his sons not following God the way he followed God. But aren't you glad he didn't get offended and take that bait because of their persecution toward him? He didn't get all bent out of shape because of that. He didn't make the problem about himself, even though it was his sons that was creating an issue there. He went to the Lord, and the Lord said, "Samuel, even though your sons have problems, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me." Can y'all see that? And see, we need to be people to recognize the goodness of God, that Samuel had problems with his sons. There's no doubt if they were taking bribes and if they were judging the people incorrectly, but that didn't mean that God was upset with Samuel. The people were rejecting what God wanted, not what Samuel wanted. Can y'all see that? And here we see, now notice it says, "and when persecution and affliction." Now, one thing we want to understand about persecution and affliction, afflictions are usually a result of circumstances. How many of you know any of us could have circumstances that are contrary to the will of God in our life, but that doesn't mean we're bad people? You know, I mean, something could go wrong in your life. There could be a health issue. There could be an automobile accident. I mean, anything could happen in life, but it doesn't mean you're a bad person or out of the will of God. We used to hear that forever. You know, if you ever had anything go wrong in your life, you were out of the will of God. Well, any of us could have something go wrong in our life. That's not the issue. Jesus was in a boat when a storm hit. Right? Are y'all here tonight? Amen. It's good stuff, isn't it? Jesus was in a boat when a storm hit, but that didn't mean he was out of the will of God. You see what I'm saying? That didn't mean he was doing something wrong. He just stood up and took authority over the storm. And that's what God wants us to do with our lives. If there's a problem that comes, he doesn't want us to become so personalize it that we fail to take authority over the problem. Because even if we make mistakes, folks, even if we sin, listen to me, sin is none of the devil's business in our lives. We may make mistakes, but we don't need to take anything off the devil for 1 minute, because Jesus paid too great of a price for us to get out of that problem. How many of you know that any problem we have, most of us created anyway? You ever discovered that? I've discovered that most of the problems I've got, I'm the kind of the focal point of them. But number one, we don't want to take it personally whenever we do that, because you know, when we take it personally, we have a tendency to become so inward focused that we're not really communicating how we feel. Like, say, if Beth does something to me, and I'm thinking this is the craziest thing that ever was, you know, and she's lost her gourd, she's lost her mind, which, well, we'll go on here. And, you know, if I take that personally and I internalize that, but I never communicate to her how I feel, I never communicate to her what's going on with me about that. And maybe I go talk to two or three other people, but I never really mention it to her. How is she going to ever get me back to the place to where I can really see the reality of it? How is the truth ever going to prevail in a situation like that? You can go your whole life and build such vain imaginations. And you know, Romans chapter 1 tells us that when we get those vain imaginations, the reason we get those vain imaginations is we are not being thankful. We're not being thankful for what we do have. We're not being thankful for what God has done. We're not being thankful that God, even if Beth were to do something wrong, God will take care of it. Or even if I were to do something wrong, God will take care of it. You see, instead of us making it so personal that we become so self-absorbed that we can't really grow up, we're never really growing up. God, listen, God wants you and I to grow up into Christ. He wants us to grow up into Christ. Okay? Let's see if there's any. Oh, one of the things that happens, another thing that happens is whenever we become internalized like that and we're making it personal about us, we're thinking, well, you know, they're rejecting my gift. No. Let me tell you something. Someone is always waiting for what you have to give. Do you realize you were born to solve somebody's problem? Amen. You were born to solve somebody's problem. Amen. That's why we were created, to serve God and out of that serve each other and live to be an answer to someone's difficulty or problem for us. Number two, one of the reasons we don't, when you can tell when you're growing up into Christ, when you're maturing, you will have a correct placement of success and failure. Success and failure. You know, Colonel Sanders, he failed. He went to 1,009 restaurants before the 1,010th one took his recipe. What if he didn't go to the 1,010th one? We probably wouldn't be enjoyed some Kentucky Fried Chicken. Think about it. He went to 1,009 restaurants before someone took his recipe and did something with it. 1,009. And how about rejection? You know, thinking about rejections, you know. But we have to have, see, if we're looking at growing up into Christ, we have to have some concepts of really, are we identifying with Him correctly? See, is our identity in Jesus, or is our identity in success or failure? You know, I can tell you this, failure is always temporary. It's temporary, but I can tell you this, so is success. See, if we are magnifying either one of those above what we need to, if we're looking at either one of those above where our identity is in the Lord, it's going to get us out of whack. You see what I'm saying? And we have to keep success and failure in proper perspective. Let me read this to you. You don't have to turn there. When we do this, here's our attitude of our heart. This is in 2 Corinthians 10, 16 through 18 in the Message Bible. It says, "But we have no intention of moving in on what others have done and taking credit for it. If you want to claim credit, claim it for God." See, if you have success, claim the credit for God. I had a guy to tell me just, I guess it was last Sunday, we went out to eat after church, and this fellow that we had leased, Martha, you remember this, we had leased the Veterans Building from. He was on the board of the Veterans Building, and we leased the Veterans Building. We actually had it leased for a year, and then Joe Wilmoth had a building, and he called me up one Saturday and said he had a building available for us that was just set for a church. And of course, the story is, you know, we went over there and looked at it and we wanted it, but we couldn't afford it. And then Joe gave us, I forget how many months rent there he gave us. He just gave it to us, you know. And then so we moved into that building. Well, this man, which I didn't know this at the time, which shows you how having good integrity and character will pay off. The same man that was on the board with the Veterans Building was business partner with Joe Wilmoth. Now, I've thought 1,000 times, what if we had reneged on our lease for the Veterans Building? And I wasn't going to do that. I told Joe, I said, "Joe, I'm going to pay this out. No matter what we do, we're not going to leave on our lease. I'm just not going to do that." You know, on the one that we had. And Joe said, "Well, how about we give you what's left on your lease for free and you can pay that rent to the Veterans Building." But tell me, see, that shows you that, look, if we're going to give any, but anyway, I've got off my trail here. I got that rabbit up. I was running it, wasn't I? Here we go. So last Sunday, y'all thought I forgot about it, didn't you? Last Sunday, we went out to eat with these people, and this older fellow was in the restaurant there. He said, "Boy, Ron," he said, "man," he said, "you have sure done good." He said, "Your church has sure come a long way there from when you first started." I said, "Let me just stop you just a minute." I said, "Everybody there has done good, but," I said, "it's the Lord." I said, "Mr. Schreckenhaus," I said, "it's the Lord that's blessed us." And I said, "we're giving him the credit and the glory for what he's done in our lives." You see what I'm saying? Notice what it says here. If you want to claim credit, claim it for God. Amen. What you say about yourself means nothing in God's work. It's what God says about you that makes a difference. See, when we have that in perspective, folks, our identity is established in Jesus. It's not established in our success or our failure. I've seen failures temporary, but so is success. See, we are not driven by failure or success. We are driven by the will of God, by continuing. Yeah, Martha, go right ahead. Amen. I do.
Really, success and failure is just perspective. I mean, I remember when we had entered into a business that I had said, it's not a matter of success or failure, but profit or loss. Mm-hmm. So I was only willing to see it as a matter of profit and loss, not personal success or failure.
Yeah. Amen. That's good. Sure.
So I think it is a matter.
It is. And, you know, another example of a person that didn't stop with failure is Walt Disney. Walt Disney was fired from the newspaper that he worked for, and this is what the manager said. "He lacks imagination and has no good ideas." Now, what if he had stopped at failure? You see what I'm saying? He lacked imagination and he has no good ideas. I like to have a lack of imagination like that, wouldn't you? But see, he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. But see, where we have to see is that success or failure does not identify who we are. I think there's a scripture in Proverbs, I can't remember where it is, but it says that a righteous man will fall 7 times, but he'll get back up. We can have a lot of failures and mistakes in our lives. But see, the minute we begin to focus on a failure, or we begin to base our life on a failure, and we're driven to try to overcome failure because of approval or acceptance. What Martha said there, I hope y'all caught it. See, we are crucified with Christ. It is Christ that we're living for. It's His identity in us that we're living for. Does that make sense to y'all? Having correct placement of success and failure. Number three, we're not moved by the opinions of others. We're not moved by the opinions of others. Now, it doesn't mean we're hard-hearted and we don't listen to counsel. That's not what I'm saying. But when we know we have the heart of God and we've proven that, we've talked to people about it, we've gotten counsel, and we know in our heart that this is the will of God for us, then we're not moved by the opinions of others. And you young ones now, let me tell this, and I'm sure some of you older ones here will back this up to me real big. You don't do that in a cocky attitude. Don't do that in some, well, you know, I'm not going to listen to the opinions of others. No. If you remember the story in the Old Testament of Jeroboam and Rehoboam, y'all, anybody ever read that? See, that's why we have daily Bible reading, so you can read these stories. But Jeroboam and Rehoboam, the kingdom of God was given to Rehoboam. Jeroboam came to him, and he said, if you will deal with us peacefully, we can deal together in the kingdom of God. And Rehoboam, he went to the young men for advice, and the young men said, you know, their father used to beat him with whips, and he said, where my father used to beat you with whips, he said, the young men told him, where my father used to beat you with whips, I'm going to beat you or put scorpions on you, and if you think my father's burden was heavy, my baby finger is going to be bigger than my father's thigh. But he went to the old men, and the old men said, no, you listen to Jeroboam's counsel, and you work with them, and you join together with them, and you do what's right. But Rehoboam didn't take that counsel. Rehoboam was moved by the opinion of those younger men and didn't listen to the wisdom of God. See, you're not moved by opinion, but you definitely don't want to lose the counsel of God. Can you see that? Once you get the counsel of God, then you stand on that, doing all to stand. Acts chapter 20, Paul said, you know, there I know what awaits me. He said, there's imprisonment, there's stripes, there's uncertainty that awaits me. But he says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Can you see what I'm saying? I'm talking about signs of maturity here. I'm talking about where we recognize we're growing up in our identity in the Lord Jesus, not moved by the opinions of others. Here's a big one. Dead to censor and praise. You're dead to criticism or praise. If praise will move you, you'll die when you don't get it. See, if we're moved by praise, if all we're looking for is accolades in what we do, you got to think, what if I don't get it? If someone doesn't recognize me, if someone doesn't know what I'm doing. Let me have my message Bible there, honey, because I want to read this to you. John 5 here, what Jesus said. This is good. Give me just a second here. Y'all have any questions or comments while I'm looking?
Worshiping in their heart the way that they that
exactly
that's pleasing unto the Lord. But you have mm-hmm. no idea. So,
I mean, you can't be moved by that, can you? You can't be moved by. I think there's one of the prophets that said he set his face like flint, not to be moved by man on one side or the other. See, if our heart is to do the will of God, we're going to do the will of God. You know, I can tell you that God will prove things. I mean, I don't like to use the word that God will test you, because it's just, God knows what's in your heart anyway, but He'll prove it to you. You see what I'm saying? God knows everything. He knows what's in your heart, and it's not like He's testing you to prove what you will do. He's wanting us to see it from our perspective, what we'll do. But God, I'm convinced that God orchestrates things in our lives to bring out who we really are. And you know who we really are? we're dead in Christ. He will bring out eventually, if we will work with Him, that true identity of who we are in Jesus will come out of us. We'll be conformed. Is that thunder? That's the Lord saying amen to this. See, they thought it thundered in the New Testament too, didn't they? Let's see. Let me find out where this is now. This is Jesus talking. He says, I'm not interested in crowd approval. And do you know why? Because I know you and your crowds. I know that love, especially God's love, is not on your working agenda. I came with the authority of my Father, and you either dismiss me or avoid me. If another came acting self-important, you would welcome him with open arms. How do you expect to get anywhere with God when you spend all your time jockeying for position with each other, ranking your rivals and ignoring God? Boy, isn't that something? See, I think the King James says, how are we going to get anywhere with God when we seek honor from men? Did I ever tell y'all the story about when I was wanting to be an associate pastor or wanting to get into the ministry full time, and every time I would go into the bathroom, there would be stuff on the pot? I'm not kidding you. I mean, there'd be urine or it'd just be something. I mean, the bathroom would, and we had a person to clean the church. And I know how God did it. I don't know. But I know it was orchestrated to see, am I going to clean that bathroom? Nobody looking, nobody know it. Am I going to clean up that bathroom? You think, well, why is that important? Let me tell you why that's important. You take someone that is not born again, but they have a very high level for excellence, and they walk into a church or a business, and there's something like that on the potty. Let me tell you something. They're probably going to turn around and go back out. Now, in a business, that's important. But in a church, it's even more important because you're dealing with people's eternal salvation. That's why it's important. Oh, I don't really care if the bathroom's picked up or not. Well, how are we going to go anywhere if all we're doing is not honoring God? We're not honoring God in our hearts. Do you see what I'm saying? Do it as we're doing it unto the Lord. And I know the Lord orchestrated that for me. But see, how I know that is, it wasn't just one time. It wasn't just two times. It wasn't just three times. I'm telling you, for months, every time I would go in the bathroom would need to be cleaned. And so I cleaned it. And see, I'm not saying that I cleaned it to try to gain approval. I cleaned it because my heart was not to try to do things out of censor or praise, because you know what? Until I entered the ministry and maybe started using this as an example, nobody ever knew I did that. Not a soul. Not a soul knew I did that. But I'm telling you, I knew I did it. And God knew I did it. I mean, I did it. And God knew I did it. But see, you have to understand, we have to recognize if we are seeking honor from men, we will only do things in front of men so that they will honor us. But if we're seeking honor of God, listen to me now, His will is important to us no matter what man does, positive or negative. His will is important to us. I hope you can get that. Here's another identity or signpost on the road to maturity. Not jealous of others' successes nor comparing ourselves to them. Not being jealous of other people's successes. You know, I'm thankful for other people's successes. I really and truly am thankful. You know, it breaks my heart. If you ever see a business open and somebody opens a business and it fails, or maybe opens a church and they don't make it, that breaks my heart. It's just like, gosh, you know, because you know they had a dream. They had something they wanted to accomplish, and it just didn't follow through for them. You know, and if you'll look with me over in John real quick, we'll close with this one because we want to make sure the children get home tonight and school year. John's Gospel. And look what Jesus said about this. John's Gospel in chapter 21, John 21. See, if we are mature folks and our identity is in Jesus, we will stop comparing ourselves to other people. You know, I'm not interested. I can't say that I've arrived completely, because sometimes it does make me kind of jealous when you see a church that's got all the everything. You know, they've got everything, and they've got millions of dollars in the bank, and, you know, it's like, oh, God. You know, I can't say that I'm there yet, but I'm off the porch. Amen. I'm going down the road a little ways. Y'all see what I'm saying? Not comparing myself or not being jealous. But see, look what Jesus told Peter here. Look in verse 19. Well, let's start. Well, 19 is all right. John 21, 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Look at verse 22. And Jesus said unto him, if I will that he should tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, I'm talking about the master, folks. This is what Jesus said to Peter when Peter began to ask him what somebody else was supposed to do. He said, if I will that he abides till I come back, what is that to you? You do what I told you to do. Amen. You see what I'm saying? And that's the resolve, folks, we have to have in our hearts, that we are going to follow the Lord, that we're going to do what God told us to do in our lives. And when we do that, and we can have the scriptures written on our heart for that. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, doing crazy stuff and saying it's the will of God. You know, there's been a lot of people wrote faith checks and said that God told them to, and they bounced all over town. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. Y'all know that's not what I'm talking about. You doing the will of God in regard to consecrating and dedicating yourself in your closet, where nobody sees it, where you are saying, God, this I am going to do your will for my life. Well, we didn't get to all these tonight, but maybe we'll pick up here next Wednesday night. Amen. Father, we just want to thank you. Let's just lift up our hands right here where we sit now. And Father, we just want to thank you for your word tonight. It's been so good to us, Lord. We thank you that you've given us direction about our identity being established in Jesus. And Lord, we want that. We want to be people that are mature, that are growing up into Christ and being all that he wants us to be, being conformed to his image. Lord, that's our will. That's our heart. And Lord, I pray right now for this congregation that all of the trappings, Lord, whether they're emotional, financial, social, mental, all of those trappings, Father, that they're broken from our minds. And Lord, we are solely consecrated and dedicated to doing your will. And Father, we thank you that you're showing us your will. And everybody said, amen.